Charis Bible College in Colorado Springs is rich spiritual soil. 2007 graduates Russ, Judith, and David Forgeston have planted a new Bible college in Chennai, India, with 60 first-year students. They've seen 350 pastors transformed through teaching Andrew Womack's Discipleship Evangelism course. In addition, they manage 162 small business loans, helping India's outcasts lift themselves from poverty. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning a brand new series that I've just entitled Redemption. And the very first teaching in this series is entitled, What is Redemption? And I'm really excited about this. This is a teaching that I gave at a Gospel Truth seminar in Los Angeles area. And it was really powerful. We saw people just get hold of the gospel for the first time through this. And so this is a brand new teaching. I've taught about all of these things, but I've taught about it on the way to another point. I've used this as, you know, just a step towards another teaching that I was giving. But what we're going to do for the next few weeks is just focus exclusively on what is redemption. Now, I know that the word redemption is somewhat of a theological word. It's a religious cliche to some people. And I'll be explaining this in much more detail, but it's really talking about the forgiveness of sins. I'll be showing you this in some other passages of Scripture that we go to. But even though that this has, you know, redemption is not a word that we use practically in an everyday situation, and so therefore some people just relate this to a religious term and don't think about it, there is some wonderful, wonderful application of this, specifically when you look at it as redemption as being the forgiveness of our sins. We're going to talk about what that means and what kind of an impact that should have on you. And I tell you, I think this is going to be radical. This is really the foundation of everything. Sin is the inroad that Satan had into this world. Sin is what Satan has used to keep mankind oppressed and giving us a sense of, well, we deserve what we're getting. And most people don't doubt that God exists. What they doubt is God's willingness to use His power on their behalf because of their knowledge of sin. And redemption from sin is something that once you understand this, it not only sets you free as far as like your eternal destiny in heaven or hell is concerned, but it totally transforms your relationship with God. It will affect your emotions. It opens up the door to all of the benefits and the things that were purchased through us or to us through the redemption that Jesus bought. And it just opens up everything. And I really believe that there is a lot of confusion in this area of what redemption is. As a rule, and I'm just making some summary statements and we'll explain this as we go through this series, but as a rule, religion today is saying that our redemption is very limited to just the past sins that we've committed, and it grants us access to either heaven. Well, it grants us access to heaven if you accept it, hell if you reject it in the future. But then most people see the redemption from sickness and depression and oppression and all of the demonic things that Satan wants to do and poverty and all of this, is those things aren't going to be manifest until we're in eternity. And I'm going to go through and show you what redemption is and show you what we are redeemed from right now. There are certain things that our redemption isn't complete. It says right in some of these verses we'll be using that we were waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. And I think what this is going to do is help you to understand what redemption is, the forgiveness of your sins, how extensive it is, to what degree you've been forgiven, what benefits that gives you, how that affects your relationship with God. This is just going to touch every area of your relationship with God, and I believe it's going to be very, very good. Now, there's a number of scriptures on this, and we're going to be bringing a bunch out, but let's start over in Ephesians chapter 1. And just for time's sake, I'm going to skip the first two verses. It's not that they aren't important, but I have actually preached for an hour and a half on the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 1 before, and I want to move along. And so I'm going to start with verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, that's not the end of that sentence, but let me just make a statement before I go on and continue to read the rest of this verse. Let me say that the book of Ephesians is just written from a totally different paradigm, a totally different perspective than what most Christians have today. Most Christians, the way that we see things, and I'm not sure all the reasons for this, I would suspect that primarily it's the way it's been preached to us, but whatever, most Christians see victory, salvation, every good thing as being off in the future. We sing songs about when we all get to heaven, what a day that is going to be. Further along, we'll know all about it. In the sweet by and by, and all of these songs. And there is no doubt that in the future, there is going to be a great manifestation of things. And I'm not minimizing that heaven is a wonderful place. But the book of Ephesians is taking a different approach. And basically, it's saying, like right here in this third verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," past tense, "already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The book of Ephesians is coming at this, not that we are striving towards victory, but that we are coming from a victory, that Jesus has already purchased all of this. Everything is ours. It's a done deal. It's already been placed on the inside of us. And you know, the wording here in the last part of this third verse, it says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, there was a time that I was a little confused over this, and I've talked to other people, and they think that this means, well, it's just in a spiritual sense. It's in the heavenly realms, but it's not practical. It's not real. This isn't real in our life. But that's not what it says. If you look at some of the other translations, I haven't got them in front of me. I won't take time to do that. But if you go read this in some other translations, it just means that He's given us all of these things in our spirit, born-again being. It isn't saying that it's just reserved in heaven, that it's off in some ethereal realm that we can't approach to and that doesn't have any impact on our physical body and our physical existence right now. It's just saying that all of these things that God has purchased for us are now inside of you in your born-again spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In the spirit realm, you are a totally changed person. And in this spirit realm, according to Ephesians 1, 3, you have already been blessed with everything. You don't need God to heal you. You've got the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. We'll be dealing with that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. You don't need the mind of Christ. It's already in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. All you have to do is draw out the wisdom that's already on the inside of you. You don't need faith. People spend all of their time praying and saying, "Oh God, give me more faith." But the Bible says that you already have the faith of Jesus. I've got an entire teaching on that. The very first tape I ever put out, that was the title of it, "The Faith of God." And Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "God has dealt to every man the measure of faith," not a measure of faith. We don't have different amounts. We might use different amounts. Some people are using what they've got, but every born-again believer was given the measure of faith. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that the faith he had was the faith of the Son of God. If there's only one measure And if Paul's measure was the faith of Jesus, then that means your measure, my measure, is the faith of Jesus. Can you understand how radical this is? Again, most people in the Christian church today are saying, oh, God can do anything. He has done nothing, but He could do it. He could heal. He could bless me. He could give me joy and peace, but I don't have it yet. And so a typical prayer, I have people come up all the time, would you just please pray for me that God would pour out His love into my life? No, I won't do that. And some people thought, well, what's wrong with that request? Well, you're implying that it's God's fault that you don't feel love, when the Bible says that He's already commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of these things. God has already placed His love on the inside of you. He's already proven it through sending Jesus. If you don't feel love, then your feelings are wrong. You are going by what you feel in the carnal realm and not by what the truth is. And so what's the antidote to this? To ask God to give you love as if He hasn't done anything, as if all of these promises in the Word aren't true? No, the proper way is to humble yourself and say, man, if I don't feel the love of God, well then, according to Scripture, I'm already blessed with all of these things. I've already got all of this in the spirit realm. The problem isn't that God hasn't given. The problem is I'm not receiving. And so you go to working on your receiver instead of complaining that God isn't broadcasting and giving. That's a totally different approach. You know, once you see this, it's so obvious that everything else, all of this religious teaching that we have that comes and says, if you will do this and this and this and this, then God will heal you. God will bless you. God will give you joy and peace. It becomes so obvious that that's wrong. But until you see this, it's like people just can't understand what I'm saying. Have you ever seen those pictures that you see? They're like geometric patterns. And when you first look at them, it just looks like some kind of a pattern or something. And then if you stare at it, all of a sudden this 3D image of a bird or whatever comes jumping out at you. And once you see it, you can't believe that you never saw it because it was right there. But if you just take a superficial look, if you don't stare at it, if you don't penetrate and look deep into it, you miss what is really there. And that's the way it is with this scripture and this principle that I'm talking about. Most people just take a surface level of things and they think, well, God Almighty, He can heal today. He can deliver. He can give joy. He can restore. He can do all of these things. And so they begin to pray and ask Him, ignoring what the book of Ephesians, not just one verse, this entire book is written from this perspective. They ignore that it's already been done. We have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Boy, that is powerful. That's powerful. And I'm going to be drawing on this and emphasizing this over and over and over because that's what the Word emphasizes over and over and over. And I believe it's a key to receiving from God. In verse 4, it says, here's the degree to which we've been blessed. That's what the word according means. The word according means in proportion to or to the degree of. So, let's go back and read verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Boy, there is so much in that verse. There's no way that I can, you know, in a very short 30-minute program, deal with all of this. But let me just point out a few things. It says that He has chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Over in the book of Colossians, which is a kind of a parallel book, it follows the exact same teaching. Many people believe it was the same teaching, just written to a different area. But over there, it talks about how that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, God, before He ever created the world, knew that man was going to take the option that He was going to give us of choosing to serve Him, and we would make the wrong choice, and that to redeem mankind back to Himself, He would have to send His own Son and die for our sins, and that there would be people who would choose to accept that salvation. All of this stuff was known by God before He ever created the heavens and the earth. That's what this is referring to. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Some people have twisted this to say, well, God only chose certain people. No, here's what happened. God chose to send His Son and die for the sins of everyone so that whosoever would could accept it. But through His foreknowledge, He knew who would accept Jesus, and He chose us in Christ before. In other words, He chose Christ. He chose Jesus. And whoever accepts Jesus is also chosen. And this is what it's referring to. Here's another point that I want to bring out. And this just boggles my mind. But boy, this is a great testimony to the love and the grace of God. And that is it. Again, imagine that you or I were God and that we were in the process of creating the world and then we were going to create mankind. And if you had known that this creation of yours was going to totally screw up all of creation, plunge it into sin, plunge it into these things, and you could anticipate all of the wars, all of the death, the billions and billions and billions of people that have died upon the face of the earth, all of the hatred, the anger, the sorrow, the grief. If you could have anticipated that and have seen it coming, let me ask you, what would you have done? Well, you know, our answer, and this would be my knee-jerk reaction. I believe this is the way most people would respond. If we would have known the pain that was going to come, most of us would have said, I would have never created man, or I would have never have given them this free choice. I would have prevented this problem from ever coming up. It amazes me that God, these verses, and especially if you compare it with Colossians chapter 1, God knew what was going to happen. He already had chosen that He was going to send His Son. And not only thinking about all of the pain that came to the human race, but think about the pain that came to God when He sent His Son to this earth, had His Son rejected, persecuted, mocked, insulted, crucified, dead, and then He raised Him from the dead. Think about the grief that Jesus went through. Think about the grief that God the Father went through seeing His Son suffer and be rejected, knowing that God could have just stopped it if He'd have wanted to. But because of His great love for us, mankind, He put His Son to grief. That's what it says over in Isaiah chapter 53. He saw the travail of His soul and was pleased and was satisfied, and it satisfied all of His demands of justice. Imagine the suffering Jesus went through. Imagine the suffering that God the Father went through seeing this done to His Son. And yet, He went ahead and gave us this choice and created us with a free will, knowing full well what the end results of this was going to be. Again, human beings don't think this way. We would have seen the cost and we would have said nothing is worth that cost. Nothing justifies this. We tend to look on all of the negatives. You know, when you listen to the news today, you don't hear the wonderful things that are happening around the world. They report on all of the junk. You know, I was just recently at a minister's conference in England and I was talking to someone that has given their life and has gone to a third world country, and for years they have found these little girls that are being sold into the sex trade. And it just broke this guy's heart. And so because of that, he went and he has spent, I don't even know what period of time, decades, giving his life, buying these girls, taking his own resources and the money that he can generate and buying these girls and starting orphanages and rehabilitating them and giving them a fair chance at growing up normal. Man, that's awesome. Probably most of you have never heard of a story like that. There are so many people that are giving their life. We just had some people in our studio during the last program I made that one guy was a chiropractor, a very successful chiropractor, and yet he got turned on to the Lord, gave it all up to come to Bible college. And then after he and his son graduated from Bible school, he and his son's brand new bride have moved to India and they have moved. They've moved from having a doctor with all of the advantages, the prestige, the money, the respect, and they've given all of that up and they've gone to a third world country. They are there ministering and laying their life down and teaching people the gospel, and lives are being changed. See, we don't hear enough about that. What we hear is all of the junk. We hear all of the murders, all of the rapes, all of the terrible things, the terrorist attacks. We hear the politicians running everybody else down. They never compliment anybody. They give you the wrong side. We are so gravitating towards the negative. We have so much hurt and pain that we just can't tolerate any more hurt and pain. And so we constantly are trying to avoid it at all cost. And with our mindset, we wouldn't have created the world and have created mankind with a free will, knowing the potential that this had for destroying the human race and all of the hurt and the pain, and then the cost that it would cost us if we were the creator. See, that's not how we think. But boy, these scriptures, they speak something powerful to me, that God knew in advance what was going to happen. He knew that the human race was going to be polluted. He knew all of the hurt and the pain and the suffering that was going to come to the human race. He knew the cost that this was going to place upon him and what it was going to take to redeem mankind back to himself. And yet, he did all of this and he was pleased to do it. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know what this says to me? This says that God values you and me so much. And the good things that he does through us, he looks at the good. It's like when he was creating the world, everything was dark, and he said, "Let there be light." And it says he saw the light, that it was good. He didn't look at the dark. He saw the light. He saw the good that he did. God has a different mindset than you and I do. He doesn't look at all of the negative things and say, "Man, it's not worth it." God looks at the positive things. And as a matter of fact, over in Romans chapter 8, and in verse 18, it says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Boy, what a radical statement. Again, think about the terrible things. Stalin killed something like 20 million Russians. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. The terrible things that have been done cumulative throughout all of history. Think about all of the suffering, all of the hurt, all of the pain. It's not even worthy to mention in the comparison or in the same sentence with all of the glorious things that God has prepared. Man, we are going to live forever in so much wonderful things that the redemption, the end results of redemption, the good things that God has purchased, the acts of kindness and love and mercy, and the people that have laid down their life, and the stories that we'll never hear through our news media in this life. But boy, God is going to bring up every godly thing that has ever been done, every person that has ever submitted themselves to God and received His power flowing through them. It's going to be so wonderful that all of the sufferings of this age, all of the Hitlers, all of the Stalins, all of the ungodliness, all of the hurt and pain and sickness isn't even going to be remembered. It's going to pale in comparison. Boy, now that's powerful. That is a different perspective than most of us have. But that is exactly what the Word of God teaches. What a powerful, powerful truth. You know, today I'm running out of time, but I do want our announcer to share with you about how you can get this series that I've got that's entitled Redemption. I think there's 5 parts to it. It's a teaching from a Gospel Truth seminar. The first teaching in this series is entitled What is Redemption? And I tell you, this is going to be a powerful teaching. So listen as our announcer gives you that information. Please call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first teaching in the Redemption series titled, What is Redemption? Is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK136. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month, and you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Campus Days this week, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta in Georgia April 18th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You are more blessed if you have heard the Word of God and received it than Mary was. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't get mad at me, get mad at Jesus. That's what Jesus said about His own physical mother.